Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Thelma Reese, author of The New Senior Man, as she looks at the realities and opportunities facing men as they retire. So what is the difference between our baby boomer men who are retiring now and the generation before?
Well, the baby boomer men now are all coming into retirement with some skill with computers. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for them in the sense that they do have IT at their fingertips. And that's an advantage because just 10 years ago, it's hard to realize that many men who were coming into retirement years didn't have nearly the skills in terms of the numbers of them. And so this is a big advantage. And another advantage is that some of the things only 10 or 15 years ago that were death sentences, if they were diagnosed with certain illnesses, are now chronic conditions, or can be, so that someone may live very much longer, able to be sustained and still remain active, as long as they're mentally active. And the book, as with the book about women, does not deal with what to do with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
About people who are still mentally alert.
Let's talk about virility rather than the senility then. How does sex and intimacy change for the older man?
Well, it's interesting that one of the things that we learned that's really important for people to know is that just because you are older and no longer able to produce or father children does not mean you're not susceptible to sexually transmitted diseases. And some people have been really ignorant about this, and SSDs have been rising in some communities of older people. So it's still important to be careful and protect yourself. Otherwise, we talk a lot in that chapter about the importance of the relationships and how intimacy may be expressed differently as people age. It depends. It's all very individual. But we go into some detail on, the fact that the most important sexual organ of the human being is the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And as one nonagenarian, someone in his 90s, said, for him, it's touch that still matters.
Absolutely.
And the expression, the ability to express intimate feelings. So people still have rich sexual lives when they learn to adjust to whatever their own condition is.
Mm-hmm. It's that intimacy with their partner.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice for a man just heading into, maybe got a couple years, what's your advice for them to prepare for retirement?
I think they need to have a very open mind and look at this period as a new phase of development. We're used to looking at developmental phases like infancy, childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, and then we kind of stop and don't realize that there's another one coming, and that's still a period of growth. It is not a period of loss, although there will be losses, and we go into that quite a bit, too, in the book, and how we can deal with them. But it's a time of personal development and growth for everyone who wants to make it so and take advantage of the fact that we're living so much longer and with so many advantages in terms of our physical health and the ability to deal with whatever problems we have and the resources to deal with these things. So to look ahead as though, wow, I may come into another third of my life when I retire.
Mm-hmm. That's a big chunk of life.
A big chunk of life. What am I going to do with it? Can I do something maybe that makes the world better? Everybody knows it could be. And everybody can just look around and find something to help with, even if they decide to do other things as well. If you get started with helping some cause that you care about, that's a wonderful way to not only feel good about yourself, but you do meet kindred spirits when you're doing that.
Absolutely. So seeking a community of kindred spirits would be very healthy for you as a retired man.
Absolutely. And because you have to recognize, too, that one of the surest killers is loneliness for men.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to recognize there's a difference between solitude and loneliness. It's not that bad being alone for many people. They may have a pet, but they have their computer, and they have their friends, and they have some social activities that they make sure they maintain or begin.
Mm-hmm. Thelma, you interviewed a lot of people to do your book. What was the consensus as far as living alone or living with others? What made men the happiest and healthiest?
Well, it's not a scientific study.
Okay.
So the people in the book vary, because some are alone and some are not. And some of them who are alone are terrific and find they have plenty of social stimulation and activity and are happy with it. And some find that more difficult. So it is individual, but what's important is getting to know yourself and your own needs and adjusting to those. It is easier for men in some ways because, you know, a lot of women will say, as long as he can drive at night, he looks very good to me.
Yep, that's right.
And many is the man who has become widowed himself, who suddenly meets a lot of women who bring him casseroles. Well, there's one unhappy one where that worked out. And some of these women are just claiming to have been friends of his late wife.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're speaking to older men with wives and families, do they think differently now about leaving a legacy or leaving something to pass on? Is there a change in attitude towards that?
Definitely. You know, when we talked about legacy or we asked about legacy, not one person mentioned anything material.
Isn't that wonderful?
I really was amazed at that. Not one was thinking in material terms.
What are some things you heard?
Yeah, it was about time and closeness, and sometimes making up for the closeness that wasn't there when they were younger and working so hard. And they realize this sometimes when they see their children raising children, because the young fathers are so different often than they were.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much that can be shared with the busy families to help them out, too, with it, watching the next generation. Is there one last thing you'd like to share with us? We're just about done, but if there's anything you'd like to add to this interview, this is your time.
Well, we started with a blog called ElderChicks.com.
Great.
All one word, ElderChicks. Which still lives, is still very active, and I invite anybody, please, to look it up and just go to www.ElderChicks.com. And there's a new post every month, and there's one that's out there today. It's also on Facebook. They can find the New Senior Woman which is also in paperback now, and The New Senior Man, which is also on Kindle, on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or ask for it in a store, in a bookstore, and or can reach me. And I'm always happy to hear from people. My email address is Dr. Thelma, all one. It looks like all one word, no dots, no caps. Dr. Thelma at AOL.com. And I love to hear from people. And I'm very happy to do this today because it makes me feel like I'm visiting again in what I think is the most beautiful part of the world where I have visited and where you are.
Thank you so much. Thank you for writing these books and helping all us baby boomers not just have to sail off into the sunset, but have purposeful lives over the next decades.
And so, purpose is the word. That's such an important thing that you just said, purposeful lives.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to carry on and write more books for us?
I hope so. I'm only 84. I expect to do a lot more.
That's wonderful. Thanks so much for all your sharing today. Thanks for being on our Health First radio plan.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks also to Alan Wishart and all the radio stations across Canada who carry our program. Have a healthy and happy day.